أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين صلوات ولعن الله على أعدائهم أجمعين ليوم القيامة رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى لا تظلمون ولا تظلمون. Brothers and sisters, before we begin, I'd request that after a loud salawat that you recite Surah Fatiha once and Surah Ikhlas three times. For all the marhumin and the marhumat who have left this world, may Allah give them a lofty place in paradise and forgive them of their sins. Salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa jawaraja. I request the permission of my dear elders, my brothers, the ulama in the audience. Inshallah, we'll continue our discussion on the life of Imam Ali alayhi salam and particular aspects of his life, the attributes that we can select and we can use in our lives. And today, inshallah, as the verse that I recited indicated is linked to justice. So today we'll focus on that particular aspect. Some of the things that we'd want to know is we want to define the essence of what justice is. We want to explain it in our own terms. We want to know what is this justice that everyone talks about. We have social justice, all kinds of other justices. So we want to identify the essence of the justice that we as theologians in the Hawza or scholars or Shia of Imam Ali ibn Abu Talib alayhi salam, what do we understand of this justice? We also want to know some of the examples of how this akhlaqi tool is used by our beloved Imam. So inshallah we're going to touch on just a few of the thousands of examples of justice by Imam Ali alayhi salam. And finally, we want to take this dars, we want to take these series of lectures, we want something that we can implement in our lives. Because that's the difference between ta'aleem and tarbiyat. Acquiring knowledge in and of itself is just finding out facts and figures and being able to regurgitate. We want to do more than that, because the job of the prophets and the ma'sumin was to do tarbiyah of the people. To change them, to give them knowledge in such a way, to impart that knowledge in such a way that the people change themselves, the communities change themselves. So inshallah, Allah give us tawfiq to be able to instill this idea within us and implement in our lives. So we'll begin with a story about Imam Ali alayhi salam. And again, we've touched on it a couple of times already, but it's about Ibn Muljim and him as the assassin who comes to kill the Khalifa of the time. He comes to kill Imam Ali alayhi salam, the greatest man that lived on earth. Now Ibn Muljim is the only one out of the three assassins who's successful. One goes to Sham, one goes to Egypt. He's successful in striking Imam, but Imam doesn't pass right away. He doesn't pass away right away. So this is the justice of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. When he's struck, now one of the narrations one of the hadith I've seen is that Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein alayhi salam immediately take him out into the house, and others capture him and they tie him up. His hands and his feet are tied with rope. They tie him tightly. This person just struck Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. So with vengeance, they tie him, they restrain him. So either Imam Ali alayhi salam has seen this or he comes to know of this, and he's anxious. He's anxious about the welfare of this person. But look at the words of Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam, that on his deathbed, the final moments of his life, and what is he thinking about? The person who comes to kill him, what is he thinking about him? Imam says that he has not been tried according to our Sharia yet. This man has not been tried according to our Sharia yet. And until he's been tried according to our Sharia, you have no right to hurt him. You have no right to hurt this prisoner or any prisoner. So, and the Imam says it's regardless of their crime, whether they're assassinating the best man on earth or whether they are doing some other petty crime, makes no difference. So this is the beauty of the adala, the justice in Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. He goes beyond that. He says that if I die, then you strike him likewise. Just once you strike him. If he survives, he survives. If he dies, he dies. If I survive, then I'll deal with him myself. And some narrations I've seen is that Imam was ready to let him free. That if Imam survived, he would have let him free. Subhanallah, subhanallah. One of the other things very crucial here, because we live in a society which is non-Islamic, and here we see the legal code has changed somewhat. It used to be you were innocent until proven guilty, but that's not the case anymore. People are accused of all kinds of things and they are put into jail just on the accusation without the evidence. The Sharia is not like this. Even we've heard stories of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam when he goes and complains to the judge and says, this so-and-so has taken my object, or there was something that was taken of his. And they say, show us your evidence. And Imam Ali alayhi salam knows, he himself is a judge. Without a witness, without the evidence, he cannot win the case. And he accepts that justice of Sharia. Imam Ali alayhi salam doesn't use any other mechanism. He doesn't use his connection to the metaphysical world in order to prove the legality of his property. He uses the rules of Sharia. And Sharia is very important for us. One salawat, please. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alim. Now, when we consider justice and in reference to this holy month as well, when we're contemplating, we're looking at ourselves, we're having introspection, we're thinking about the actions that we're doing, we also must think about how many times have we done an injustice to others, maybe a family member, maybe a friend, maybe a colleague, maybe a neighbor. How many times have we done injustice to them? In this holy night, we must ask for forgiveness. How many times have I done injustice to my own body? How many times have I eaten the wrong things? How many times have I overeaten? How many times have I eaten the things which are sugary or fatty or so many things which are harming this body? This possession that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon me, how many times have I done injustice to it? How many times have I done injustice to not just my body, but my soul also? The sins that we commit is a gross injustice to our souls. On the day of resurrection, all of our organs will testify against us. We're doing dhulm to our souls by committing sins, by touching something that is unlawful, by looking at something that is unlawful, by eating something that is unlawful, by hearing something that is unlawful. They say it's shaitan's arrows that are being shot in your eye if you're looking at something unlawful. This is an injustice to ourselves. And also, how many times have we committed an injustice to our environment? It's not just about me and my Lord and the other human beings. We have inanimate objects, they have a right over us. How many times have I done an injustice to the Holy Quran, to the mosque? How many times have I done injustice to the wildlife and the animals? So I just wanted to raise these questions to show you the breadth of this subject And it's no wonder this is part of our Usul al-Din. And when we talk about Adl, we have other concepts and other words like Dhulm we talk about. We talk about Haqq and Huquq. We talk about Haqq al-Nas, Haqq Allah. We talk about this concept of Adl ilahi, this divine justice. Now that's a little bit beyond the scope of my discussion today. I will bring it back into Adalat in relation to humans and Imam Ali alayhi salam, how we can use it. But Adl ilahi essentially is an important topic for us because we differ somewhat with the other Muslims on this subject. So we make a big deal out of this. The crux of it is this, that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us, it would be just for Him to bestow upon us the things which are necessary for us to maintain our existence in their entirety. One such example is providing us with a worthy leader who can actually take us to the right path. One example. Another example is the sustenance that we have, the food and the drink, everything that we need to live and survive. Our recreation, our procreation, all of these things. So let us turn our attention to what in fact is justice. And before I go into the definition, I'll use a couple of examples and maybe even look at the contra of it, what it's not. So justice is opposite to injustice or tyranny or oppression. So one example I could give you is that when an individual would snatch the food out of the hands of an orphan and take that food away, that would be considered tyranny and oppression, an injustice, a gross injustice. Another time we see something like this is the killing of an innocent, which is another gross injustice, which is the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has linked in such a way that killing of an innocent is like the killing of the whole of humanity. That's how unjust it is. So okay, looking at it in the other perspective, now if one is to take the food now out of the hands of the oppressor, it's very difficult to do. But this is what happens. The people who are following justice, they'll be the ones who go and they'll take these things away from the oppressors and they'll give them to their rightful owner. They'll give it to the orphans. That's justice. Another example of justice would be a killer being punished for his murder. The murder that he's committed, he'd be punished for it. That is Aini Adalat. That is actually what Adalat is. This is what it's about. Rightfully punishing, rightfully giving. Now, in the society that we live in, we constantly hear about social justice. And I've heard lots of our ulama have talked about social justice. I wanted to make this parallel here, that when we're talking about justice, we're talking about divine justice. We're talking about justice that has been shown to us through the ma'sumin. Because sometimes we don't understand these concepts. Sometimes it's fitri, we understand the concept clearly. Good and evil, to some degree, we can understand clearly. A child can understand good and evil to a certain degree. But beyond that, you need the hand of these ma'sumin to come and explain to you this thing which you may not comprehend, this is the reality of it. So when we think about social justice, to some degree it includes the justice that we're talking about. However, they focus more specifically on social mobility. So moving people from one social class to another social class. Working class to middle class and so on. So the emphasis of this social mobility and social justice is they look at any type of discrimination in society. It may have been against the blacks in the slave trade, it may have been against, you know, the foreigners who are not getting to the university in this current week, this is all in the news. So they're looking at discrimination and then they will say, okay, we'll take some sort of affirmative action and we'll balance that out. So we'll have this social justice, meaning the people who were marginalized or penalized for some reason or another, Now we'll try and balance it by giving them something extra, which is kind of going against the principle of justice. You're giving them extra, which they don't actually deserve, and you're trying to justify it for political means. And we call this social justice. So that's not the justice that we are talking about, really. The other point with justice is some people, they try to equate justice with equality. Being just and being equal are not the same things. They are not the same things. Now I'll explain. In our books of Aqaid, our scholars say that justice is of two types. One type is more general, one type is more specific. The specific one means that giving the rights, judicial rights, to an individual, granting the rights that they deserve. So for example, that an individual has stolen from another person, and they go to court and they get their rights. They get the possession back, the other person gets punished. So that is their right. The second type of justice, according to our books, is to place everything in its rightful place. So each and everything has a rightful place. Humans have a rightful place in societies. Litter has a rightful place in the dustbin. Knowledge has the rightful place in, for example, schools and universities, in the minds of people, so it can help mankind. Everything has a rightful place, even to the extent that the animal kingdom and the environment, justly, it has everything in its rightful place. So we're not talking about giving it a specific right when we go to a court, an animal has this right, and so on and so on. We're talking about things being put in their rightful place. The human body, how we're constructed in the best of creation, the justice here is that we're proportioned in the perfect way. The nose is rightfully here and not up here. The eyebrows, we definitely need them. Some people struggle because they don't have eyebrows. The sweat comes down. That's justice, that we have eyebrows. To that detail, that minute detail, everything is in its rightful place. So just a couple more examples. So a teacher, he is just, a just teacher is that one who treats all his students according to their needs. So again, we said we don't want equality. We don't want every single person in the class, whether he's born in, for example, July or August, he's one of the youngest in the class, he's born in September, he's one of the oldest, almost 11 months older, or whether this person's good at math, this person's good at English, this person has one skill set, that person has another skill set. No. A teacher will be just in a way that he will give them what they need, what is appropriate for them. One person is barely knows the language of English, and you're giving him some advanced spelling, so this child has been learning for 5 years. That would be a gross injustice. So you can see the parallel here. Sometimes we see our imams amongst their companions, they would give them according to their need, according to their level, according to their taqwa, where they'd reach in their spiritual elevation. That is justice. Don't think that is that they should have been equal to all of them. No. And the second example here is a rightful judge who gives a property to those who are entitled to it. It's very difficult to do that. Because often we see these feuds, we see them in many of our countries, we are drawn out over years because the judges can't make a decision because there's going to be feudal wars related to the properties that are distributed. People are not writing their wills, and beyond them, all their properties are being ruined. They're not taking ownership correctly. The orphans are being left out. So the judges, they have to make these decisions, these impartial decisions. Which reminds me of a story that I wasn't going to mention, but as we have time, that Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam is in the presence of one of the Khulafa, and he has a complaint against another individual. So when they're brought in the presence of the judge, of that Khalifa, he calls Imam Ali and just takes his name in a loving way or in an affectionate way. He calls him by his laqab. The other person, he doesn't. He calls him in a normal way. So Imam Ali alayhi salam, his face changes. He gets angry. Why does he get angry? You see, in our judicial system, the judges have to remain impartial. If the murderer is brought in and the victim's family are brought in and he seats them down, he has to give them equal respect. If he stands for the family of the victim, he has to stand for the murderer, because he's not been convicted yet, has he? According to our Sharia, he's not convicted. Even to the extent that our scholars say that he shouldn't even have this animosity in his heart. How difficult is that? So the mujtahids, these qadi, whose job it is to pass the judgments, they have to be at that level that they are impartial. When they come in, they see the evidence based on the Sharia, they give the law, there's nothing else that is involved. One salawat, please. So we have these two types of justice. One is putting everything in its rightful place, which is the general one. It kind of encompasses the other one, which is giving individuals their rights, the judicial version. But we also have several areas. In fact, there are many, many areas. I'm going to mention four areas where justice is used. We have personal justice, which encompasses the justice, the rights that our organs have on us. Our stomach has rights over us. Our private parts have rights. Our wives, our property, mother, father, children, our brothers, our families, they have rights. This is personal rights. In terms of the judiciary, justice is that they have qualified qadi. And in Islam, as I mentioned before, it's wajib-e-kifai, that you have to be a qadi if you have the ability and there's nobody else doing it. Trial and punishment, that is justice. That has to happen on this earth. Because it cleanses that sin. And it deters others from committing that sin and that facade. In this way, we need witnesses. Either we need witnesses, a certain number for a certain crime, or the person has to testify himself. And it's not just straightforward, anyone can come and say, oh, I did this crime. No. Are they sane? Is there some evidence that, is there some indication to the qadi that this person is truthful about his own claim in convicting himself and indicating that he himself committed that crime? The third one is the state, justice of the state. In this way, it starts with the Adli Ilahi, that he gives us divine leaders, and those leaders have rights over us. And it's just that we follow them. It's just that we follow Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam and no other. We have divine guides sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Islam, we have a social welfare system which is just, providing this vital support for the people who are impoverished, who are the wayfarers. We have a system of developing work and sustaining productivity. That is justice. If people are not working, the state will encourage the people to work and increase the productivity of that state. In Islam, we need it. Where in Islam does it say stay at home and take benefits? No. Go out, work. The mu'min who works and comes and worships, he's far weightier than the abid just worshipping all the time. And also the last point on the state is that they provide an education. We see this from the moment that that the Prophet, peace be upon him, establishes his government in Medina, and they have captives from the war. They said, we'll set you free if you educate these people. If you teach them to read, we'll set you free. The value of education. That is justice in the society. And it's the responsibility of a state. I've mentioned the divine justice as well. When we think about good and evil, right and wrong, heaven and hell, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala providing us the means to exist. And one last point here is that we have this book, the Quran, and Allah's words in there are promises to us, and He keeps His promise. See, if He didn't, that would go against justice. And if there was a Lord, that was going against His promises, would no longer be a God. Our Lord, the Lord that we believe in, is just. In fact, everything that we can consider requires justice. We look at the plants, we look at the animal kingdom, we look at the birds, we look at the Qurans and the mosques, the inanimate objects. Within Islam, outside of Islam, everything has a right on us. So second story, or third story now, about Imam Ali alayhi salam. On this occasion, it's the Battle of Siffin. Imam Ali alayhi salam is in power for 5 years and 4 years and 10 months, almost 5 years. And in Siffin, after the Battle of the Camel, Jang-e Jamal in Basra, Imam Ali alayhi salam is going north facing Muawiyah's troops. So before Imam Ali alayhi salam gets there, Malik al-Ashtar's group has reached there and Muawiyah's troops have also reached there. And they've taken control of the water of the Euphrates. And there's only one major place where the people can get the water. The other places are too difficult. So when they capture this area, they don't let the Muslims take the water. So Imam Ali alayhi salam, first thing, he gives them the ability to change. He writes, he consults, he sends somebody when he arrives, he sends somebody to negotiate. And we see this again and again. Imam Ali alayhi salam, whenever he goes to battle, in fact, this is a quality of the Ahl al-Bayt, that whenever they confront somebody in battle, they give them the right of the first strike. They would never strike first. So they would give the opportunity. Now Imam Ali alayhi salam says, let us also access this. And he buys time, he delays, he says, let me think about it. He sends the person back with a message, let me think about it. So Imam Ali alayhi salam knows what's going on. Eventually they're forced. It's a long journey, they've come, people need the water. So they fight, and there's skirmishes, and they take the water. So now there's rallies from the Muslim side. Now we've got the water. Now we won't let them have the water. But Imam Ali alayhi salam, he has basirat, and he knows. So he doesn't play those same dirty tactics. And he advises his troops that no, you will allow them access. And during this time, we see the troops of Muawiyah coming whilst the troops of Imam Ali alayhi salam are there, and they're sharing access to the water. This is justice. Because I didn't mention about the state. We have justice in warfare. We have certain rights and obligations in warfare as well. And this was one of the examples. So we ourselves, what lessons are we taking from this? We ourselves need to understand who we are and celebrate ourselves. I'll say that nowadays people are very confused about the gender question. It's a lot of people wondering, what should we do? What is going on? What will happen to our kids? A lot of people struggling. Now for us, as creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our reference point is not the opposite gender, the opposite sex. That's not our reference point. Our reference point is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He tells us who we are. He shows us what we're made of. He shows us our destiny in this night of destiny. He knows us better than we do. He created us. If we want to understand ourselves, we have to refer to the Ahl al-Bayt. Look at them as our examples. In that way, we can really do justice. We can maintain ourselves every aspect of our life, our body, our soul, we do justice to it. Where we go, who we speak to, what we listen to, what we see, how we elevate our souls, how we work on it, how we acquire knowledge. If we understand ourselves, then we'll be able to do this. We should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is justice. We should be thinking about Imam Zaman alayhi salam when we take certain actions. That is justice. Our job is to seek nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The way, the simplest way, is to be pious, muttaqi, to have taqwa. How do we do that? Just practice what you know. We know a remarkable amount of things about Islam. We know many things about Imam Ali alayhi salam. Are we doing justice? Are we practicing what we know? Just practice what you know. The verse that I began with, La tadlimuna wa la tudlimun, this is a beautiful point that we neither accept oppression and neither do we oppress others. Very important in our lives. We cannot go on and oppress people, which is quite clear from this lecture. But also, look at the people of Gaza. Look at the people suffering. We don't accept oppression. We have to stand up for tyranny and support those people. My last point. That there's a hadith from Imam Hussein alayhi salam. One salawat, please. So in these lectures, there's been a lot of advice, and also advice, this is advice to myself, and other people have advised me. And it reminded me of a beautiful hadith. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam says that if anybody praises you, don't ever get happy, or don't get overjoyed and overexcited. If anybody criticizes you, don't get upset. If they're right, then fix yourself. And if they're wrong, then leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the end, we make dua for all of the scholars, the current scholars, the ones who have left this world, anybody who served Islam in any way or form, and especially the leader, we make dua for them all. We make dua for all the marhumin who have left this world. May Allah give them a lofty status and forgive them of their sins. We make dua for all the brothers and sisters and all of their hajat, the brothers and sisters who want to get married, the brothers and sisters who are ill or somebody in their family are ill. We pray for them. We pray for all the oppressed in the world, particularly in Gaza, in Syria, in Myanmar, and all the other parts of the world where they are suffering in Yemen. Inshallah, our final dua is to hasten the reappearance of our beloved Imam, and Allah give us a tawfiq to be just enough to serve with him in his army. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.